Hello and welcome to Ask Backwards, the podcast where fucking we talk past this and how you doing?
My name's Trent, that's Ed. We do podcast related content. If you like that, if your girl like that, oh, that is.
It felt more intimate than it should have.
I like my listeners to know that I love them. Like all of them. Platonically and unplatonically.
I half expected you were going to lean in and get close with the mic, start whispering nothing. Like, you had an energy going into that.
I got a mental rose in my mouth just waiting to serenade you with this delicious podcast. Like, I feel like it's Valentine's Day because I love y'all. Platonically. But no, today's podcast, we're talking about video games from our neighborhood to your neighborhood, aka the 90s, yo.
Yeah, just all the, God, it was such a time period for, because it was when video games first started becoming a thing that was regular to have in the house, you know? Because it's not, all of the newer innovations and stuff where it really started to become normalized, like to have a Game Boy. Like, that is classic 90s feeling for video games, and it really is where everything just kind of began for a lot of modern-day nerdy motherfuckers.
Yeah, the thing about video games, especially growing up in our time, we come from a generation of people who were yelled at about getting inside instead of going outside. So, we really did not play video games as much as the next generation, you know, Alpha and Gen Z, so, but at the same time, we were very, like, detailed and, like, understanding the evolution of video games, because we literally watched, you know, PlayStation 1 become PlayStation 5 and played every PlayStation in between and, you know, shit like that. Like, I don't know, I grew up on, like, GoldenEye and shit. Like, my favorite game of all time is Kirby. That's why I got a Kirby tattoo on my arm. So, like, this is, like, when I get to become a full nerd. Because I didn't ever play with Magic or, like, Pokemon or shit like that, but I was always about them video games.
Kirby was a staple for game design, and the philosophy behind Kirby has influenced games, especially Nintendo games. Like, they took Kirby to heart. Just moving forward through time, this idea, because a lot of games, they'll have little secrets or different ways you can challenge yourself, hidden items, different play styles that might be more difficult but satisfying in different ways. And that all started with Kirby, because the philosophy behind Kirby was you can finish it really easily, but we're going to add a bunch of stuff for if people want to try harder, so you can still get more satisfaction with more effort. So it creates this situation where your engagement is directly relative to your reward, but anyone, like, very low entry barrier, very high possibility. And that's carried on through so many games now, that idea of, let's add a bunch of extra little shit for people to find later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And just in case you lived in a rock, under a rock, or, you know, was born in 2003 and you don't know what Kirby is this little tiny pink puffball of fucking gluttony that literally swallows anything and becomes it. It's literally what you see actors do today when it comes to acting.
Dude, we should have... I wish I brought up the Kirby show. Earlier, because I think it wasn't on PBS Kids, though, so...
No, it wasn't on PBS.
One of those, like, basic cable channels.
Yes, Kirby did have a TV show, I think it was the CW, but it did have its own TV show on, you know, public television back in, like, the early 2000s, but Kirby actually touched on Earth back in 1992 with the Kirby Dream Land video game that came out for a Game Boy. Now, the thing that makes Kirby so fucking fascinated is it let kids be whatever the fuck they see, because it swallowed it whole and became it.
Okay, can we talk about how amazing that game design decision is in and of itself? some dude said, hey, let's make it so that we have a bunch of different sprites, a bunch of different models for the main character, each for different power-ups, and let's have the power-ups be the living enemies that he swallows whole. And that sounds crazy, and I'm sure it sounded a lot fucking crazier in the pitch meeting, but it is such an interesting game design aspect that to this day, I don't know if any other game really does it quite as well. Because there are other games where you can, like, steal abilities or steal strength or, like, different things kind of leech off of enemies, but it's usually left at a lot more limited, maybe, like, drain health or take a weapon kind of deal. But this is straight up, you completely change your moveset, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, the thing about Kirby is, I'm very proud of Kirby and the designers of Kirby, because they had to compete with Mario for the last fucking 40 years, and of course, they never could go above and beyond Mario. But even with that, they still was able to make such a franchise out of Kirby that you had toys and fucking TV shows and nonstop video games that just, and I think there was even a Kirby movie or some, maybe a short film or something, like, just the fact that Kirby just became this whole franchise is amazing to me. When they had to compete with Mario and Luigi, let's face it, whenever anybody thinks of Nintendo, they think of Super Mario. They don't think about a little pink fluff ball named Kirby.
But to be fair, Kirby is also extremely marketable. Like, at surface level, you know how easy it must be to make a plushie of this thing? Like, it's a sheet of pink fabric made into a ball. Then you put a couple of eyes on there, and you got Kirby. I feel like Kirby is just as famous as things like Mario. It's just not as, like, not as many people play the games, but everyone knows him, you know? We have been on Kirby. Like, we immediately went down a rabbit hole of specifically Kirby.
Let me put it this way. Kirby had 39 games come out. Mario has over 200 games. So even though it's like a hard competition between them, they still was able to like make that many games and play, have it be replayable. Because to be honest, I'll fucking plug in a Super Nintendo right now and play Kirby all day.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Kirby. It's one of those games that I played when I was younger, but I never like kept up on the versions. Kind of like Sonic. Like everyone played the old Sonic games and stuff. But only, like, diehard fans are still buying, like, Sonic Boom or whatever. And I feel like it's the same for Kirby. And sometimes I hear about the lore for Kirby in random videos and stuff like that, like game theory videos and things like that. And the lore sounds fucking wild. Apparently Kirby is, like, a gluttonous god or, like, the embodiment of what was left over after a god died or something like that. And it was just like, how?
Yo, bro, I'm not gonna lie to you. Kirby theories get fucking wild.
I'm not even talking about theories. I'm talking about the canonical explanation.
It's all over the place, man. But I just wanted to mention Kirby because when I first started playing video games, I was probably like 3 years old when my mom handed me a Super Nintendo controller. And you know, if you know what that controller looks like, it's fucking weird. It has like the A, B, and buttons and shit. You only have two triggers.
Yeah,
it's no. The Super Nintendo is not a block.
No, it's like a rectangle.
Kind of. It kind of bends a little, but yeah. It's kind of like a rectangle. But I played that, and then I would play the Nintendo 64, and that's another game I wanted to talk about that really defined me was GoldenEye 007. Now that game was ridiculous. Me and my cousin would go ham and like fucking make that like the biggest competition ever. If he had more wins than me, we had to keep going.
Yeah, everyone I feel like had GoldenEye. Like if you had an N64, you had the little box with all the cartridges in it. And you definitely had GoldenEye, Zelda, like the Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask, one or the other. I've never known someone who had both. And like a few assorted games that you probably wouldn't even remember. I'm fucking blanking on what other games they had.
Banjo-Kazooie, probably like Wave Race 64.
No, we never had Banjo-Kazooie. I never had it growing up.
Mario Kart 64, of course. Perfect Dark, which if you know, you know, and that was like a very slept on game. Donkey Kong, of course, like, fuck, yeah. Dude, I could talk about Donkey Kong all day. That would probably take the whole fucking episode.
Alright, it's a Donkey Kong episode. Let's not go on.
Star Wars, you got Resident Evil 2, you got, Excited Bike 64. You know what was a classic game? I just want to throw this out. Remember fucking Paperboy?
Paperboy?
Yeah, bro.
I mean, yeah, it's a classic, and God.
You feel old, don't you?
Glass of scotch, cigarette in hand, fucking take a deep hit. Paperboy?
Shit.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Wasn't that for, like, the Game Boy, right?
Yeah, Paperboy, I think it was originally an Atari game. Because that the original version where it was like super pixely and it had like 3 images per animation, where it's like
it says here it was Nintendo 64, so there's that, bro.
Okay.
But there was also, you know, Doom, which became a sick ass franchise, and I play it to this day. I got Doom on my PS4.
If we're talking about influential games, Doom, like, for the longest time, any FPS shooter was called a Doom clone, because the genre, it pioneered it. Even other games that came out for the same console, like, around the same time, were just always Doom clones. Even if, I think there were games that came out before Doom that were called Doom clones. It was just so impactful. Like, we wouldn't have any first-person shooters nowadays if it wasn't for Doom taking that first step, including the newest Doom game, which, honestly, I didn't care for the newest one.
No, I felt, well, personally, I'm not going to get into Pokemon. That is way too much. That is somebody else's episode, not mine. There's 122 games known of Pokemon. It's too much. You're asking a lot.
Well, but, to be fair, you could probably divide that by 2, since half of them are just like, do you want the blue version or the green version?
What about yellow or silver?
Do you want sapphire or pumpkin pie?
But we have emerald right here.
And it's the exact same game with like 3 Pokemon exclusive, specifically to get people to buy both games so they can get all the Pokemon. Because they preach, you gotta catch them all. So we're just going to withhold 3 of them for a totally, like, a full price separate game. Like, we talk about DLC being bad. These motherfuckers were buying the game twice for like 3 Pokemon. Come on.
Listen, the deepest I went to Pokemon was having a Pokédex. And I only had that because my cousin didn't want it anymore. But I figured out all the fucking Pokemon's numbers. So that's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. Pokemon, again, like you said, this is not a topic I'm about to weigh too much in on.
Yeah,
like,
I did.
If you show me any of the original 151, I could name it.
Stop.
But beyond that, it's gone way too far. I've lost the thread on that.
Yeah, facts. But I will describe, just in case you don't know what a Pokédex is. It's like a Pokemon calculator. And you, like, put in numbers to figure out which Pokemon you could, like, get from it. It will show you
Pokemon. Like an index.
Yeah.
For Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemon index.
I fucking hate it here.
A Pokédex.
So, fucking, yeah, it was just some fried shit, but I could never find fucking Pikachu for the life of me. I promise you, I probably put in every number combination. Fucking bullshit. But anyway, outside of Pokemon, I will name the games that I mentally remember having on the Super Nintendo or the Nintendo 64. Bear with me, because it's a decent amount. There was Castlevania. That's classic.
Ooh.
There's Glover. That was pretty much the cheap version of Mario. I'ma be real. WWF. That was a classic.
Oh, back when it was WWF.
Oh my god.
Like, this dates that so bad. Like,
when you're old enough to know that SmackDown vs. Raw was not when they first started, okay? That's literally how it is. I think I had Raw Unleashed through some shit with Stone Cold Steve Austin's face on the front, but it would never load. I blew on it like 8 times, and now I know that never would have worked anyway. That shit's been debunked, but yeah, this shit. But, I also had NBA Jams. That was classic. I never really got into too many sport games, but when you're over here playing basketball and you have the announcer saying, "He's on fire!" while you're fucking throwing a flaming ass basketball into the hoop, it does something for you. There was also, I had NBA, I think it was like 98. I'm not sure what the name was, but it was the one where there was a cheat code so you can be Bill Clinton.
My first time hearing about that.
Oh yeah, well, we're gonna get into the cheat code underworld, because over time, of course, when I had these games, I didn't fucking know. We didn't have the internet. You just had a friend who had a friend who tried it out before and then told you, so you wrote it down. And each video game, you know, like back when we didn't have digital, you put a little fucking notebook paper with all the passwords and the fucking cheat codes for that game.
I have one for San Andreas.
Yeah, underneath the I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm so fucking ridiculous. I don't know anything about fucking timetables and shit, but I can memorize the San Andreas, all the cheat codes for all the weapons cheats and the heal and all that shit. Like, I was just playing it earlier, and my girlfriend's looking at me like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So, I wanted to bring up, this is a bit of a sidebar, it's off topic, but when you brought up WWF, I wanted to bring this up. Do you remember Mr. America?
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling was so fucking wild. For anyone who doesn't know, Mr. America was not Wink Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It was an entire thing. This is how ridiculous wrestling gets. And I just wanted to touch on that because you brought it up, it brought it to my mind. It was an entire plot where Hulk Hogan was like banned from wrestling or whatever. So he showed up in a mask that still fully revealed his mustache, his signature mustache.
You know how Mankind was like three different people? Yeah, that.
It was just like, I'm not Hulk Hogan. I'm Mr. America, brother. It's the plot lines, and it makes me want to go back and watch old WWE, WWF stuff. It's like WWE got way more wild than WWF.
Listen, can we just take a moment to like praise the fact that we got to have different varieties of fighting games? Because we had Killer Instinct, we had Bloody Roar, we had Street Fighter, we had Mortal Kombat, we had Tekken. I don't see any other video game right now where I can turn into a rabbit and beat your ass, do you?
I mean, a few, but they're on disreputable sites. Anyway.
But no, like, for real though, like, the fighting games were ahead of its time. The graphics weren't, let's be real, but the fighting games were, so I just want to throw that out there, because I still will play Killer Instinct and beat anybody's ass. Also, I do have a flashback. I remember playing Disney's Aladdin, and goddamn, that was a good game.
Have you played the original Mortal Kombat, like,
through the
campaign?
Oh, yeah.
I remember the last time I was playing was on New Year's one year, and it was literally, like, I was almost through the campaign, and I died, and I looked over, I was like, oh, shit, it's 12:03, I missed midnight, because I was so enraptured, it just beat ass.
Shit's fried. But, listen, I love all the Nintendo games. Like, it was, like, the beginning for me. But nothing in Nintendo will ever be as good as that first-generation PlayStation 1 startup. Because, man, I remember coming home from school and being gifted a PlayStation 1. And my family over here playing, like, Sims or some shit, and I'm like, wow, what the fuck?
I did want to ask real quick, before we get into PS1, pre-PS1 favorite system? Because they're
Super Nintendo, definitely. I mean, it had Kirby, it had Castlevania, and it had Killer Instinct. That was enough for me.
I would have to say either N64 or Atari. And I have a story about Atari. I told you that I wouldn't tell it to you before.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to share. So, I had a friend. We all have that one friend, at least in gamer circles, that's really into Dark Souls and has played through on, like, New Game Plus, and acts like they're hot shit because it's a hard game. Which, let's be honest, Dark Souls isn't difficult. It's punishing.
It is
extremely punishing when you fuck up. But, first of all, after the first time through the game, you know everything that's coming. It's not that bad. And Second of all, it's even on like New Game Plus and everything, you still get a head start with basically everything. Almost everything is telegraphed. Like, they talk about stuff just jumping out at you, but there's usually a sign ahead of time in those games. This guy was really up on, since I'm good at Dark Souls, if I play any other game, I'm just immediately good at it because I've played much harder shit. Wow. That's not how gaming works at all. Man. And also, you're wrong. But he made a bet with me. He was like, I can demolish any game you recommend. And I had an Atari flashback.
Bruh.
So I said, okay, you like adventure games? You like swords and dragons? All right, then if you're immediately good at whatever game you play, then I'm going to need you to beat Adventure for the Atari. That's just the title. Adventure.
It sounds like horse shit, but continue.
You play as a little yellow square.
Bruh.
You pick up items by just running into them. No explanation, no text, because it's an old Atari game. In the first room, there is a sword with you. It does not look like a sword. It looks like an arrow. You need that sword to be able to slay the dragons when they come for you. They show up way later. So it's like, you don't even know you need this item. If you leave it behind, you just have no idea that you needed it.
That's fucking pride.
The goal is you need to, like, reach the end of the level, and I think you need to, like, grab an item and bring it back to, like, an exit. And there's, like, three levels, because it's an old, shitty Atari game, where most of the playtime comes in from you going, what the fuck am I supposed to do? This dude played through the entire night. I don't think he picked up the sword once.
That's right. But, I did remember that there is one, either Nintendo 64 game or Super Nintendo game that I've been wanting to mention that I forgot about. Did you know they had a Beavis and Butthead video game?
That sounds like something that would exist, but I wasn't aware that it did.
I own that shit. I didn't never even watch Beavis and Butthead before in my life at that moment, but I love that game, dude. You just run around as Beavis and Butthead in their high school, getting chased by God knows what, trying to jump tables and shit. It was pretty much like Aladdin. You had to, like, keep going.
Back in the era of, I don't know how the fuck to make this a game. Just have them do some shit. Throw in some platforming.
Really?
Make it tangentially related by having the sprites look kind of like them.
Yeah, honestly, that's how it was. But, yeah, let's go to PlayStation 1, because PS1 just really gets really detailed, and that's when I finally stepped into consciousness as a child. So, yeah. Ape Escape was one of those top tier video games. I don't know if you know what that was, but it's pretty much a game where you're this fucking goofy ass little boy, and you're over here trying to catch all the apes that escape from this facility with a fucking
net.
That's
why it's called Ape Escape!
Nigga, don't sleep on Ape Escape. They have like three different Ape Escapes.
Is that franchise still going? Because it was popular.
They remastered it. So I end up having it on PlayStation Now.
Okay. That's like the full new graphic overhaul and everything, or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually really cool. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That was always a classic. I would always be mad as fuck because the apes would never just come to me. But that Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I actually have a funny story with Tomb Raider. My uncle always used to love to tell me that. There was one time while I was playing Tomb Raider when I was 4 years old, and then I walked off a cliff and my character died, and I broke into tears, as a four-year-old would probably do.
You're four.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, Midas's hand made me almost break down crying, I'll tell you that. You remember, you climb on top of it like, oh, I've been platforming, I'm just gonna crawl on top of this platform, because it's a hand, but it's a statue. And then Lara Croft just fucking dies from being turned into gold. Which must be, like, the most horrendous death ever.
Lara Croft used to piss me off. They also had the original, like, X-Men video game, which was very interesting. I only did it for Wolverine, let's be real. That was the only character that developed in my mind at that age. But, no, Tony Hawk Pro Skater was always one of my top video games. I used to slaughter people. I can still slaughter people on that. Don't ever do, like, a time-lapse game with me. I kid you not. I used to be able to grind on, like, a fire hydrant and just stay there and keep my balance for, like, a good 40 minutes and get, like, 7 million points and blow people off the water.
Just going in circles. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Yeah, literally. That's actually, we went back to our music podcast for that one because video games did open up our mind to music a lot.
Oh, yeah. When they use, like, a good song in a game, because a lot of games just kind of had that, like, passive background music that never really changes, and it's kind of like, not even really music, more just kind of a beat to keep the background occupied. When a game had good music in it, it stood above the rest.
Definitely. But no, I just loved PlayStation in general. There was also Crash Bandicoot, of course. That's a classic. I think I still hear that little tiki head in my head sometimes when I just, yeah, you know, that,
you know what he was actually saying?
Fuck no, it was a thick-ass Jamaican accent. I don't even think he knew what he was saying.
My dad always used to say that he was screaming booty picker.
That's funny.
I can't unhear it either, because, like, when you get him, booty picker!
Like,
it sound like I said anything different from what he said.
No,
that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, literally.
And you're never gonna be able to unhear it now either.
Another good game was Casper. I don't know if you guys slept on that, but you shouldn't have, because on God, not only was the game like great because you're like over here traveling through the haunted house trying to avoid your evil brothers, but you also have the fact that they put cheat codes in the Casper. So there's a cheat where you can actually go into this mystery room. So you would float to the left downward corner of the mansion when you're in the main lobby. My memory is this good when it comes to video games, but I can't remember people's birthday. Shut up.
I can't remember what I ate for breakfast. Oh, fuck, I forgot about breakfast. Time for more alcohol.
Literally. So you go to the downward left corner of the maze, I mean of the main lobby when you get into the house. And if you go down there after you put in the cheat code, there's this room that's just all the chests and every key that you need for the whole house. Yeah, after I found that out, the game was never the same. I was addicted to it.
That gave similar vibes. Like, so it wasn't a cheat code, but the original, like, Resident Evil, Resident Evil 2. It was Resident Evil 2, Raccoon City. If you played on easy mode, they would give you infinite ammo guns, like, at the start. And, like, it was, like, a Tommy gun and a rocket launcher. So I'm like, damn, like, easy mode is easy mode, but this feels like that's cheat code. It's like, that's some cheat code level shit to just slip into your easy mode. Because it went from have an infinite ammo rocket launcher and Tommy gun to normal mode, you have a pistol with limited rounds. Like, that is a huge fucking leap. That makes me terrified of what the leap between normal and hard mode is.
That's some fucking bullshit. I think SOCOM was actually on the PlayStation 1 too. That kind of opened the world of military games for me. There was Metal Gear Solid, which, if you know, you know. And all I'm gonna say is, Snake! Snake! Snake!
I'm trying to remember which Metal Gear it was, but at the end, like, in the one where it introduced Raiden as a character.
Yeah.
So, you've played that one, right?
Yeah.
At the end of it, you play as Raiden for a bit, and they give you the, like, sword at the end. And that's where he first got his, like, ninja motif, because that's when he first got the weapon. And you had the option to switch it, because in that game, you could either use lethal or non-lethal damage. And you could, like, flip it to use, like, the blunt side of the blade for the non-lethal, and then flip it to use the sharp side for lethal.
Yep.
And it pissed me off that you have that weapon for all of, like, 20 minutes, maybe an hour of gameplay. Or at least that's what it felt like. Because I had gone through the entire game, and then you get the sword, and I was just like, this is the greatest thing. I hate that games always give you the most fun weapons at the end. I understand that, like, the BFG in Doom.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have that through the whole game, because it would just trivialize the entire game. So I get it when it comes to something like that. But don't give just, like, a genuinely really cool and fun weapon that could have been balanced through the entire game at the very fucking end.
No, I fucking felt you. And, you know, I just realized that I almost forgot to mention Twisted fucking Metal. Bruh, do you remember that shit?
Yeah, I remember Twisted Metal.
If you don't know what Twisted Metal is, which, please crawl under that rock you've been living in. Twisted Metal is...
You mean crawl out from thy rock?
You know what? As long as you're not in the rock, that's all I care about.
I know, Cliff. I'm in the rock.
Nigga. Okay, Patrick. So, Twisted Metal is pretty much like this racing derby game that includes AK-47s and machine guns, and your character has this traumatic backstory of why they're in the psych ward, and they're trying to get out by playing this dangerous roller derby game. It's pretty much like if Divergent was a fucking, like, Hunger Games was racing derby. That's how I describe it. But
speaking of psych wards, a great one. This is moving forward in the timeline a bit, but
don't do that.
Manhunt.
I know we were getting there. Damn it, we were getting there.
We're getting there. Okay, fine.
But yeah, so Twisted Metal's the main character, Sweet Tooth. Okay, he is the iconic character. He's a clown faced nigga who runs around and kills you using an ice cream truck, and it doesn't get any better than that. If you don't fucking buy an old fashioned video game console before they raise the price to $1,000, what the fuck are you doing, bro? So I just wanted to mention that one. Of course, there's Diablo.
I'm dreading the day that I hear about, and it could be out now, and I just haven't heard of it, but a PS2 flashback.
Oh, God.
That I'm dreading that day, because that's when I'm officially going to... Yeah, on that day, I'm just gonna die. I've just been around too long.
I don't know if I mentioned Spyro already, but that was awesome.
I don't think you have mentioned
Spyro. Yeah, Spyro, little dinosaur fucking... What the fuck is he? What is Spyro?
Spyro's a dragon.
Okay,
that's like the main plot of the game.
Dude...
You're freeing all the other dragons because you're the last one left.
I honestly never played it for the plot, apparently, because I never knew that. I just knew catch shiny things.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that is basically the plot. But what happens? Big evil dude shows up, says, "Look at all these fucking dragons," and turns all the dragons into stone. But for some reason, Spyro was fucked off doing something else when that happened. So when he comes back, he's like, "Man, I need to help the other dragons." And then you go around and start saving dragons, and the dragons themselves are a collectible. And this has always pissed me off, is you are the smallest, weakest dragon, and you are saving all the other dragons. I understand that. You were the only one left. After you save, like, 3 full-grown adult dragons, they should just be like, "Okay, you're done. Thanks. You've done more than enough since you're a scrawny little piece of shit. We are full-grown adult dragons. We'll handle it from here." But no, instead, they're just like, "Thanks for saving me. I'm gonna fuck off now."
Hell no. There was another... I never got into baseball, but I did play MLK... MLB.
MLK.
Listen, I ain't playing no MLK. He'd be mad at me. I played MLB 98. That was a good baseball game. I said baseball, nigga.
Oh, baseball, okay.
He over here fucking up.
Okay, I'm stupid too. We're all stupid. Okay.
Listen.
I fully own it.
There was also Command and Conquer. That was like the beginning stages of Army, like, turntable game, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there was, like, Miss Pac-Man, which that's not really fucking new.
Miss Pac-Man was... Okay, I talked about shitty DLC before.
Yeah.
Miss Pac-Man was literally... They put a bow on Pac-Man.
You're right, though. There was also the first Grand Theft Auto that came out on PS1, which nobody cared about because it was the first one. It wasn't Vice City or San Andreas, so it didn't stay in my memory bank.
Did Miss Pac-Man ever get a game of her own that wasn't just a clone of a Pac-Man game? Is that...
That was pretty much what I was describing.
Oh, that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, when I think of Miss Pac-Man, I just think of, like, the old school Pac-Man. I don't...
No, it was a whole, like, Miss Pac-Man-based game. But my last game for the PlayStation 1 that I will mention, and that's pretty much defined the PS1 for me. If you don't know, you don't know. But Bushido Blade, what's that shit? Have you ever played Bushido Braid, Ed?
I believe when I was a lot younger, but that one is, like, loose in my head. Like,
well, let me clarify it for you. So Bushido Blade pretty much was this game where you and a nigga fight with your fancy katanas or whatever kind of weapon you can use. It's actually how I learned what a katana was. And you can pick some blue dude or some white dude with some blonde hair or whatever the fuck. They had some really interesting characters. I never understood it. But, you could either go and burst a bunch of enemies and do the story mode, which the story mode was literally you versus 100 enemies, one at a time, and every 10th enemy would be twice as harder. It was the weirdest shit, but you all have to kill them all in a row, and yes, your health would regenerate, but it was just fried.
I'm trying to remember. You know, I'm sure everyone has those games where you remember playing them for hours, but the title you just can't grasp in your head. And I'm trying to think, there was like a ninja game that I was playing.
Ninja Garden or some shit?
It might have been like one of the old Ninja Gaidens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... God, I'm not sure what else to say on it. You played as a ninja. You know, stealth games weren't really a thing until stuff became more advanced either.
No, that's not true, because we did have, Metal Gear Solid. And then we also had first generations of Splinter Cell.
Well,
and,
I'm saying, like PS1 is when things started getting a point where you could reasonably do like stealth games and stuff. But before that, the most stealth you had was... Like, in 007, yeah, you could play stealthy in that, so that's definitely up there with it.
Yeah.
But, like, stealth-focused games, like, that's the only thing.
SOCOM was stealth-focused.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up, actually.
You actually start as a... It was beginning stages of Tom Clancy's new shit, the Ghost Recon shit. So you would have a team of, like, 3 niggas with you, and you would sneak out of the water... I remember the whole beginning setup in my fucking head. You sneak out the water, you're in the desert in the middle of the Middle East, and you fucking gotta sneak up on your enemies one at a time and kill them until you kill out the whole troops. It was a pretty good game for PlayStation 1, honestly. But I think it's time to go to Xbox now. As much as I didn't fuck with Xbox, I still went to my cousin's house and played it from time to time, so I'm gonna mention a couple games from there. There was Kingdom Under Fire. There was, Halo, of course.
Staple. Even if you hate Xbox, you respect Halo.
Oh yeah, Halo's that shit. Halo was the reason people bought Xboxes. There's Dead or Alive. I'm trying to think of other ones. But do you know any Xbox games?
I mean, I'm like you here. I didn't grow up an Xbox boy. We were PlayStation men.
Shit.
And, but I did play some Halo with friends, when I was, like, visiting, but that's, like, the only Xbox game I played. I don't remember exactly which Halo it was, but there was a customization option. You could choose, like, the color of your armor and what, like, logo was on the shoulder. I wasn't sure what to make it, because when I was making my own, which I appreciate, my friend was willing to let me, like, make my own character for when
Hell
I was playing
yeah.
with them. But, I made mine, like, light green with a Triforce on the shoulder, and I would always run straight for, like, the sword, so I could just run around just, like, Legend of Zelda fucking cosplaying in Halo, basically.
You fucking fried for that. I did forget Fable. That was another good classic game. We also had 50 Cent's Bulletproof, and I know you wanted to mention this, Manhunt, the first one.
Oh, yeah. Manhunt 2 was the one that, like, I played a lot of.
Do you know the storyline of the first one? It was just as brutal.
I mean, I probably guess, was a man being hunted?
Yeah, I think that one was just, like, no plot. He was just a killer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was just gratuity.
Yeah.
Or gratuitous. No, gratuity is what you give your waiter.
Yeah, the nigga had, like, a Jason mask and shit. Oh, we also had Red Dead Revolver, the original. Listen. Everybody's like, Red Dead Redemption, but there was Red Dead Revolver, bro. Everything has a beginning.
Oh, while we're jumping on, like, different consoles and stuff, we could just quick honorable mentions to early computer gaming, back when, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Back when you were still buying, like, discs for computer games, and you were playing, like, Putt-Putt and stuff like that.
Listen, if we're gonna do computer games, I'm gonna sound real corny. I used to play... Okay, I was a kid. But Mickey Mouse's Kitchen, bro. I don't know if you know what that shit is, but it was for those pre-chefs that didn't know they were chefs yet, like me. And you'd sit there with these, like, maybe, like, 20 items to make meals. And the only thing that was, like, really cool was you can make Mickey and Minnie a whole breakfast buffet because, like, the stove slid out. And you had, like, a griddle on it and shit.
Yeah, I can tell by your face you're, like, into this.
Oh, yeah, it was my shit. I'd get so mad because being 5 years old playing the game and then you, like, put it on the table for Mickey and Minnie to eat. And they'd always, always not eat the whole thing.
But, basically, there was, for computers, it was basically an even transition from you're buying, like, discs at the game store or at Blockbuster or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and playing Freddy Fish or whatever, and it basically evenly transitioned into flash games, which immediately went into way more wild shit you could never buy at a store.
Yeah, and it's not even just like the games that you could buy at the store, it's the games that was like on Newgrounds, or if you're like ridiculous like me, you went on 666 Games.
Or if you wanted to play in school, you'd go to Cool Math Games, which, let's be honest, almost none of those games had anything to do with math. It was literally just to get around the school's blocking software.
Dude, I used to play that balloon game where you had to, like, kill the balloons off before they finished the trail. That shit was fun, bro. Oh, Balloon Tower. That's what it was. Oh, fuck,
I would play, like, Bombot, which, have you played Bombot?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you use the explosives to try to launch him at certain intervals and stuff to get him to the end of the level. Yeah. But, like, as computer gaming goes, it's not much to talk about on the progression. Eventually we got Steam, and now we download stuff directly, and that's computer gaming now.
Facts. Some more Xbox games that I didn't mention. That's when Splinter Cell dropped down to Earth. If you don't know what Splinter Cell was, it was like the greatest sneaky game of all time. Everybody says their favorite was Chaos Theory, but honestly, I love Convention. I'm one of the ones. It's like me liking fucking Saint Anger by Metallica. I like the things that everybody else hate. I don't care. But there's also, like, Star Wars, there was Soul Calibur, Enter the Matrix. We had a lot of good games. Ninja Gaiden, Red Faction. If you don't know what Red Faction is, it's one of the few games where you actually got to get a real gun and shoot people through the walls.
You keep saying Garden instead of Gaiden for Ninja Gaiden.
Nigga,
I'm just imagining a gardening ninja.
I don't care, bro. As long as he's a ninja, who cares? But yeah, Xbox had some good games, but like I said, I never owned Xbox, so I just go to my cousin's house and play it. But now PS2, however, PS2 is where it gets crazy. I think PS2 still has the most game, the biggest game library out of all the consoles, besides PC. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Honestly, PS2 gets ridiculous. You had everything from, like, Thrillville, where you're building roller coasters, to Tony Hawk Underground, to fucking Manhunt 2.
Yeah. PS2 is what first introduced me to the Legacy of Kain series.
Oh, and yeah.
You played, like, Soul Reaver 2 was my first one. And that was, because you play as a soul vampire. Like, that's some wild shit for a kid to, like, see in it. Because, like, nowadays you have wild stuff happening in games. Like, you'll go in and it'll be like, oh, you're playing in a post-apocalyptic world filled with murder robots that you kind of want to fuck. I'm referencing a specific game here.
Is it God of War, goddammit? Because no. You were allowed to fuck them.
No. Ironheart.
Oh, but okay.
They are pretty hot in that. Yeah. But that being beside the point, like, wild shit like that'll just be thrown at you, or it'll be like, oh, you're in Victorian England in a steampunk version, and you need to avenge your ruined reputation after you were framed for an assassination. Dishonored. But back then, for PS2, Soul Reaver, you're a soul vampire fucking with the timelines, because an ancient god and his disciple are, like, I'm trying to off the top of my head remember what I remember from this game, but it was absolutely wild. They're trying to, like, pull some shit. I don't even remember what, but you end up getting sent back in time, forward in time, and you're gathering different, like, elements that you can infuse the soul sword that sprouts out of your arm with. Like, that kind of wild shit back in the early days of PS2 is part of what made it so magical. Because that is when they just started, like, on the real creative shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the one thing that is about PS2, you can definitely tell that time sets help graphics compared to Nintendo and plot lines. Like, it's crazy we went from something as simple as, like, NBA Jams to fucking NBA Streets, where you're over here doing fucking cartwheels with a basketball in your hand and then shooting a hoop. And also, I wanted to mention Guitar Hero and Dance Dance Revolution came out of this generation, which pretty much changed the arcade in every fucking mall.
Talk about introducing good music through video games. Like, you can't... The front runners for that. Front runners.
Yeah, especially Guitar Hero, and then you got the Rock Band, and then all the other series that came off of that, and so on. But yeah, that's when that pretty much touched down, and I will say that the main thing that really made me love the PS2s is just the varieties of storylines and things that you can do with games. And they never simplified shit. Like, for example, you want a fighting game where you can be a rapper? Play Def Jam Vendetta. You want a football game where you can do drugs and rip people's nuts off? Play The Blitz.
I've never heard of The Blitz, so that one took me off guard.
Blitz the League, I believe, and then it was Blitz 2 or something like that. But I will say this was when I get to that point of EA Sports ruined a lot of shit. EA is probably the worst company. It is the worst gaming company out there. They have known to pretty much underpay their workers. They're known to finesse and fucking dodge shit. Oh, yeah. And they bought the titles of games and pretty much revamped them to pretty much be a second Madden when it used to be its own franchise.
Oh, and they have no respect for their fans at all.
They have no respect for anybody.
Yeah, first of all, I feel like it started with, they have ridiculous microtransactions, which has always been a thing with EA. But now they're, like, you saw that I have an EA account on my computer that is literally for one game that I got for free that I needed that to be able to play. But if you don't log into your account after a certain amount of time, it gets auto-deleted and you lose all your games.
That's fucking horrible.
And the CEO, I think it was the CEO, went on record and said, I don't know if you heard about this, it was like a little bit ago, but he said, gamers need to get used to the idea of not owning their games.
I'm not surprised. That's some Nintendo shit, real shit.
The immediate response from it. Everyone online was, if purchase isn't ownership, then piracy isn't theft. Fuck you, I'm gonna go illegally download your games.
Yeah, legit. And it sucks because EA brought us fucking The Sims, but at the same time, they ruined so many franchises because they buy them all. Like, do you remember when, we had classics like Tony Hawk Underground and all those shit?
Okay, and let's not act like for a moment that, because Sims is a good game. You can get the base game and have a good time and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not act like they didn't drop so much DLC for that just as a money grab. Have you seen how much it costs to buy a complete edition of any Sims game?
Listen, and from the levels of how many different Sim games there are to the niche for each, types of Sim games they are, because I'm going to say this, Sims game, what is it, Urban or some shit? That's, the most racist shit.
Sims Urban? I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah, it's literally you're a black person. You're literally a black person.
That's just what they did. They just made you black and made it urban?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my fucking...
But I also wanted to mention Ratchet and Clank. That's another good one.
Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, you love that shit.
Oh, dude, you hit me with that. It was one of those games, we've been running into a lot of these, where you don't really think about them until the other person
mentions it. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then you're all the memories hit at once. They just got fucking shot into my brain all at once. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I don't know if Ratchet and Clank games stayed good, but playing the originals forever ago, it was a memory. You remember the Rhino?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, hell. For those listening, the Rhino is a massive rocket launcher that you need to buy in a back alley from a dude that looks like a drug dealer.
I will say this, though. the PS2 is when, like, games started to, like, really franchise for more adult audiences, because you had way more mature games than you thought you would.
Definitely a bit more mature than Adventure for the
Yeah.
Atari.
Like, there was God of War 2, where you could fucking have sex with, like, maybe, like, 20 minutes into the game. There's fucking San Andreas, where you're fucking beating hookers
I
and
remember that. Didn't you have to like
fucking them
do
in
a
that back
quick?
alley.
Didn't you have to do a quick time event to fuck the women in that
Oh,
game?
yeah. It was a
And
whole,
that
you
was
had
like the quick time tutorial.
Yeah, dude, you had to like bash and stuff, and you're like hearing this bitch moan, like, okay, I think I'm doing it.
Gamers learned sex.
Yeah, literally. And then you had like shit like, what? Fuck off, Ed. You had shit like S The Simpsons Hit and Run, and then Crazy Taxi,
Oh, fuck
and
yeah.
that defined a whole generation of fucking drivers.
Well, that would explain why some of the people I know drive the way they do.
Literally, like, and shit, there's just so many games. There's WWE SmackDown versus Raw, and that's when that franchise started out. Dragon Ball Z, everybody loved that shit. The 900 Final Fantasies that there are. Need for Speed, Midnight Club, Burnout, like all these fucking racing games, you never got bored of that shit.
Yeah, they were always a good thing to just throw on when you needed something to play. Wasn't Dynasty Warriors on PS2?
Yes, it was.
Ah, oh, fuck yeah. I remember anytime I think of Dynasty Warriors, because it was a game my brother played all the time, and he would always listen to the same, like, music playlist when he played it. So it is irrevocably, Dynasty Warriors is forever in my mind connected with "You would not believe your eyes if 10,000
10,000
fireflies."
fireflies.
Yeah. Or was it 10 million? I don't know.
It doesn't matter the count. There's too many to even fucking count. That's the real issue. How you count all those fireflies? They stay in different places. It's not like they stay still.
The song makes it sound romantic, but let's be honest. I would not believe my eyes if 10,000 fireflies lit
I
up the
wouldn't
room as I
either.
fell asleep.
I wouldn't either. I'd
If
be
I would
thinking
be
I'm
in.
on acid.
I would be in so much disbelief, I'd get up, scream, and call an exterminator, because why are there 10,000 bugs in my room?
Nah, for real. Oh, and then, the pipeline from the Harry Potter games to Hogwarts exists with the PS2. That's another thing, 'cause,
Oh, God, I forgot about the Harry Potter game for
yeah,
PS2.
you could fucking do the, what was it, Catch the Stitch or something?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
you could actually fly the broom, like,
Yeah.
outside of game, but they didn't make everything solid for while you were flying the broom, so you would just fly through buildings.
Facts. And then you also had like Spider-Man 2 come out. And if you don't know, Spider-Man 1 was, I think it was on the PS1, and all you could do was be on top of roofs. There was no going into the crowd. If you fell off a roof, you died. It was a very simple, boring game. But the Spider-Man PS2 came out, and you're like, fuck yeah, open world Spider-Man. And that's when really open world shit started developing, and that was another thing that really fucked with
Oh yeah,
PS2 for.
PS2, like, and I guess Xbox,
Oh yeah,
like,
360 more.
yeah, definitely open the open world possibilities. It's when we first had the processing power to be able to say, like, and first they also the techniques to be able to render, like, what part of the world you want on any at any given time, but to really just have it be, because loading screens were a major thing because they needed to load the next area. Which is
Yeah.
literally the difference. Having a game that doesn't require that is a huge fucking step. And like games were working towards that for a long time. They would mask the like loading screens with like elevators or things like that.
Yeah.
But to have a game where you just straight up can walk all the way across the map like that is just something that really
Blew everybody's mind.
started. Yeah.
I remember the game that actually was the first one that didn't have any loading screens was Tony Hawk Underground. No, I think it was actually Tony Hawk American Wasteland. Yeah, it was. It's Tony Hawk American Wasteland. Instead of loading screens, what they had was your dude get in a car and you watch him drive from one point of the map to the other.
Now that's just kind of a standard feature in a lot of games.
Yeah, so I just, if you ever threw shade on Tony Hawk, you better chalk that the fuck up because they opened your eyes to a world you didn't think was possible back in the day.
Who throws shade at Tony Hawk? He is
Ace.
infinitely just a cool guy.
Everybody has haters, especially famous people, let's be real.
Fair.
But I did want to move on to the Xbox 360, and then we probably close off after that.
All right, yeah, you had some words.
Yeah, so the Xbox 360 kind of was like, it developed later than a PS2, and I think they made games a little bit after the PS2, because the Xbox One took a minute. But that's when we had shit like Fallout come out, and Gears of War, which is a great franchise. If you never played Gears of War, I highly recommend 2. That's the one where you get to fucking jump into a giant, life-size, ridiculous-ass, city-size worm and try to kill it from the inside. It's a great game, great graphics, and I think that's one thing that Xbox 360 did have on PS2. The graphics were way better. Yeah. You also had Hitman that came out. Nobody knew that they could be an assassin before in different ways until Assassin's Creed and Hitman was a thing.
Yeah, I feel like, again, that feels like it takes inspiration from 007. 007 had a lot of impact on a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, you had, like, Call of Duty. And Call of Duty was on the PS2 first, but it really, like, started blowing out with, like, the different zombies and Black Ops and all that stuff. And Modern Warfare on the Xbox 360. Fable 3 was another iconic game. I don't know any other game where you can fucking catch an STD and then get your child's taken away because you killed your wife.
Hey, fair enough. Oh, speaking of fantasy stuff, I brought up old video games for, like, the computer briefly. Have you ever played Fate?
No.
It's kind of like a Diablo-like, but there's Fate the Cursed King, Fate the Traitor Soul. It was one of those ones that I grew up with, so I just wanted to give it a quick mention because it's, like, you can fish for, fish, but you would frequently also fish up, like, gems, and those were the things that you could, like, put in your armor and weapons to, like, power them up, so, like, a fire gem or a bonus attack damage gem, shit like that.
Yeah.
So it was a game that was just really interesting and fun to play around with.
Hell yeah. We also had Minecraft that came out on the Xbox 360, so...
Minecraft came out, like, Jesus, Minecraft is...
Yeah, it's old.
Because now I'm playing on, like, modded servers and shit, and I'm thinking back, like, how long has this been a part of my life?
Since you were a child. Yeah, yeah, it gets crazy when you realize how old you are. We also had Battlefield that came out, and Elder Scrolls Oblivion, which is actually my favorite one. And it's very slept on. I don't know if you fucked with Oblivion.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I played Oblivion before, yeah. Skyrim. Why do you prefer it over Skyrim personally?
Just the plot line and going to Oblivion. I feel like they designed that really well.
Yeah. To be honest, I really love, because when they recorded the voice lines for Oblivion, they didn't do them in direct order. They did it, like, alphabetically or something like that.
Right.
As a result, the tone being used for different words wasn't always right because the beginning of a sentence and the end of a sentence were recorded at different times. And they didn't know exactly what inflection they were using at that point. So they'll just randomly be like, hello, how are you doing? You need to go to this location!
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that with Oblivion. It used to scare the shit out of me.
They would just randomly switch up on you.
Yeah, facts.
Like, everyone in Oblivion had something going wrong in their head. It was great.
Yeah, facts. We also had Mirror's Edge that came out on 360. Left 4 Dead was another good one. Bioshock's a good one.
Parkour games take leaps and bounds.
Oh, yeah. Parkour games is great, honestly. There's also Portal as well. That was another good game.
And you said Bioshock. Bioshock is one of my favorite franchises.
Bioshock. And then if you get into the superhero games, there's Hulk. And then there's Batman, Arkham City. And then they've got Arkham Asylum, of course. It was just, Dead Space is another good one. There's just a lot of good games, but I was the two ones that really three that really, like, kill all the other Xbox 360 games have to be anything from the Halo franchise. Left 4 Dead, just because that was iconic and that blew out. There's a reason why they remade it later in life, and it flopped, because it could never beat the original. And then Assassin's Creed, because, let's face it, that is another good game that, trailed off and made a bunch of more games, and the storyline is great. It can be revamped 1,000 times, and it'll still be a great game.
The original Assassin's Creed is the first game I ever beat on a computer, and I beat it on an e-machine that I got from Walmart.
That's fucking fried.
It was like a $200 e-machine. I had to put extra RAM in it just to get it to work. I went into the, like, I modded, like, not modded, like, I, like, went into the files and manually reset things so that it could run on that shitty of a computer. The hay piles looked like a pile of bean bags because the textures were so, like, poor that they were literally, like, squares layered on top of each other.
That's fried. I do want to do the honorable mentions of the PSP games. I played Prince of Persia on there, Sands of Time, if you don't know what that game is.
I played that on PS2.
It's, pretty much your... How would you describe them?
You are a noble in a desert nation.
Yeah, kind of like Egypt or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
But the whole plot line is pretty much you gotta figure out, I think, who killed somebody or something. I don't know. I just remember...
Sands of Time, if I remember correctly, Sands of Time, you were trying to save the princess.
Okay.
It was. Yeah. Because I remember at the end, when she asked him, because he always goes by the prince through the entire game. And he doesn't talk to a lot of people, so it's not like people are bringing up his name. Like, everyone else is gone. And when he's leaving at the end, she's like, what was your name? And you can tell he made it up on the spot. He's hanging from a tree, like, about to leave. He goes, you could just call me Gaka Pugala. And fucking goes out. And that's exactly what he said. I remember the exact name because it was so fucking off the wall.
Fucking
Gaka Pugala. And he just fucking dipped.
Prince of Persia was a great game for me because the fact of the matter was one of those first games where you can go back in time. And that's, like, the whole concept of the game. Anytime you, like, fail or fell off a cliff or something, because there was a lot of parkour in it, you can use the Sands of Time, and then your character will, like, rewind. It's like you're watching Adam Sandler click button on his fucking remote, and you go backwards to where you were. And it was always a really cool thing that they did it like that.
Yeah, honestly, what I really liked about it in the game design was that they had a lot of moments where you inevitably would die, which would suck for any other game.
Yeah.
But if you had Sam's, which they would make sure you had before they gave you an instant death, then it would automatically draw on your reserves. Because Sam's were a usable item. You had multiple different moves and abilities that used a different amount of it, kind of like a mana bar, like in a lot of games.
Yeah.
And they controlled time. And if you died, it would automatically activate your ability to rewind, which you could also do, like, manually, but it would automatically do that and put you back to, like, right before you ran across the platform and it crumbled or something like that, which is great because it had a lot of platforms and stuff like that that would fall apart or traps that would go off. So when you reversed, the trap would be reset. The wall would no longer be rubble. Like,
yeah.
It would give you a second chance from the start, which honestly was just really cool. I played Sands of Time. I played all three of the main Prince of Persia games for PS2, actually. It was Sands of Time, Two Thrones, or something like that. The one where he's, like, half-possessed by a demonic version of himself. And the third one, which I'm drawing a blank up now because it's been years.
Understandable. Like, then again, it's a lot of games. But there's Sands of Times, there's Warrior Within, and then the Two Thrones. So you had it
Warrior
right.
Within. That's the one I was forgetting.
But I only played two games on a PSP. It was that and Flat Out, which was a very fried game. It was pretty much... The point of the game had nothing to do with the vehicle. You drive your nigga off a cliff, and you're supposed to make your nigga eject from the vehicle and see how far he can go. And it was pretty much like a ragdoll game that you pretty much punish this nigga no matter what. It was pretty fun, though. Like, you never knew where your nigga would end up while he's over here doing the dangly arms and shit in the air.
Ragdoll physics have always been a treat.
Yeah, facts. But no, those were just the last two I wanted to mention. But other than that, I feel like we did a good episode.
Now, yeah, I mean, we were definitely, like, excited for this one. I could tell for both of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I appreciate everybody for listening. If you have any suggestions or anything, we're always open to listening. Yeah, I think that's good.
This has been Ask Backwards.
I'm Ed. No, I'm not Ed.
And I'm Trent. Y'all have a good one.
Shit.